So we are continuing in our series of Lenten sermons, Let Your Burden Be, Let Your Burden Be. To date, we have shared together in Let Your Burden Be for the Angry, Let Your Burden Be for the Bereaved, Let Your Burden Be last week as we shared together for the Lost, and today we're sharing together in Let Your Burden Be for the Lonely, and next week we are sharing in Let Your Burden Be for Yourself. And so as we engage the topic of loneliness at face value, we feel that this is not an overly optimistic topic. But if anything, this series of messages is all about wanting to encourage us to cultivate a desire to reach out to those who are angry or bereaved or lost or lonely. And why is this necessary? Simply because we all go through times or seasons in our lives where, yes, we're angry or we suffer a bereavement, or we feel lost as though we don't know, can't find our way, and we all experience times of loneliness. But not only that, Scripture has much to share with us about all these feelings and experiences in life that none of us are immune or exempt from. You see, one can be a Christian and also experience anger, yes, like Jesus did when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple precincts, in the outer courts. A Christian can experience grief, such as Jesus did when his dear and close friend Lazarus passed away. And the scripture there in John chapter 11 and verse 35 says, what? Those two simple yet most profound words in all of Christian scripture, Jesus wept. And a Christian can feel lost, or they can go astray. As Isaiah says in chapter 53 in verse 6 of his prophecy, we all like sheep have gone astray. And so it is the word of God that comes to us speaking life into all of these places of our lives. Indeed, it is my belief that sometimes believers have to pass through these experiences in order to grow in their faith and come closer to God. I'm sure that you know lots of people that will readily confess and say, you know what, I never came close to God until my loved one died or passed away. I never came close to God until I hit this rough patch, this crisis in my life. I never came close to God until I stared down the loneliness that was very much a part of my life. It was once said that the biggest social disease known to humanity is loneliness. Actually, in this day and age, it is more socially acceptable to be depressed than it is to be lonely. We focus a lot of time and resources, and rightly so, upon those that are depressed. But shall we forget those that are lonely? Loneliness appears to be, you see, the inevitable byproduct of our contemporary culture and lifestyle. According to the U.S. Census of the year 2000, and I know that goes back a little ways, but they said in that census, more people are living alone today than at any other point in our country's history. A full 25% of all households consist of just one person. A quarter of all households, just one person. You see, loneliness is one of America's few remaining taboo topics. But loneliness doesn't just apply to single people for whatever reasons. Today, busy parents, they can cocoon themselves by devoting most of their non-working hours to their children, leaving little room or time for that precious and necessary social contact with friends and with family. And even though they may be surrounded by a family, they too can feel lonely at times. Loneliness, it can also be a killer. Perhaps you wouldn't have thought of that, but it's true. In an article by Dr. Sanjay Gupta, a name that we're all familiar with, he wrote an article entitled, "Why You Should Treat Loneliness as a Chronic Illness." And he writes the following. Studies show that loneliness increases the risk of death by 45%. And the chance of developing dementia in later life by 64%. Amazing. On the other hand, people who have strong ties to family and friends, and those can be single people also, by the way, are as much as 50% less at risk of dying over any other given period than those who have fewer social connections. So I think you get that. Ever wonder why women, on balance, live longer than men? I've wondered that also from time to time. And my theory has long been it's because women have such well-developed social connections. Yes? That's part of it, I think. Yeah. In the book, The Lonely American, Drifting Apart in the 21st Century, author Jacqueline Olds states that, according to a 2004 general social survey, one out of four, and of all the things that I researched in preparation for this message today, this was one of the things that just pulled me up short as I read this. One out of four Americans talk to no one about something that was important or of significance to them within the last 6 months of their life. We all have important things to say and to share, but one out of four had no one to talk to share those things of importance in their life over a 6 months period of time. So one of the remedies for loneliness, according to Dr. Gupta, is to, as you could suspect, to connect. So if you know someone who is lonely, connect with them. That's part of our ministry as followers of Jesus Christ. Let your burden be for the lonely, because that is God's burden. Don't just text them. Call them. Let them hear your voice, your precious voice that they've been longing to hear. Invite them out for a walk. Ask them along to an event, perhaps. Don't always assume that everyone has always got everything pulled together in their lives, and they might not appreciate you reaching out and inviting them to be a part of something, because I'm sure that they would. Others, they need you. Yeah. Others need me. Others need you. So vital, so important. Whether those are children in your life or those that are the same age as yourself, or perhaps there are elderly people in your life, others need you. Ask others if they'll join you for a cup of coffee. And if you're a Christian, perhaps you could read Scripture together. Yes? Yeah. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. I'm going to give you the page number. If you want to go ahead and grab your pew Bible, let's all turn there. I'm going to give you the page number. Hebrews chapter 13, it's on page 227. 227 of the New Testament portion of your pew Bibles there. Let's all turn there. As Pastor Daniel hears all the pages turning, page 227. 228, it'll be at the top of page 228, and it's Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Everyone there, or do you still need another moment or two? Everyone pretty much there? Okay. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, quote, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, it has been simply translated by many as what you have there within your pew Bible, and that's very, very good English, but it's really crummy Greek, okay? Because in the Greek, the verse contains a rather unusual spin on that verse, which is called a triple negative. And so when you're reading that in the original language, in the original Greek, it says the following: He will never, never, never leave you nor forsake you. Now, in today's four passages of Scripture, there is a powerful message that is communicated to every Christian, and it is this: you are never alone. You're never alone. In 1945, I won't ask for a show of hands as to who was around in 1945, but in 1945, Rodgers and Hammerstein. How many of you know Rodgers and Hammerstein? Okay, wonderful. The majority of the congregation, if you don't know Rodgers and Hammerstein, you've got to look them up and you've got to get exposed to their music. Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote a wonderful show tune for the music Carousel. Beautiful music. And the song that they wrote was entitled, You'll Never Walk Alone. Think back to the history of 1945, yes, when you had many men and women separated from one another by war, and so that song couldn't have come out at a better time. And since that movie, it has been famously recorded by the likes of Judy Garland and Doris Day and Mahalia Jackson and Jerry and the Pacemakers and Perry Cuomo. I know those of you that are 40 and younger probably don't know a lot of these names. Frank Sinatra, everyone should know that name. It was recorded by Barbara Streisand, Patti LaBelle, Louis Armstrong. Elvis had his own version of You'll Never Walk Alone. Katherine Jenkins, The Righteous Brothers, and Andy Williams. How many of you remember Andy Williams? Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to love watching his TV show. Yeah, just to name a few. And from 1964 to 2010, Jerry Lewis concluded the annual Jerry Lewis Telethon by singing that song, You'll Never Walk Alone. He always did it with tears in his eye. I can always remember Jerry, his face was all puffy. Remember, he got to the end of that long telethon. His face was all puffed up and his hair was disheveled. And I think he was smoking a cigarette at the time, if you go back far enough in television history. And he was singing that song. Once after the end of a concert by the rock band Queen, for those of you that are maybe about my age or younger in the congregation, the audience after this Queen concert spontaneously sang this song. And according to Queen guitarist Brian May, this helped the band. It inspired them to create the songs We Are the Champions and We Will Rock You. Those two songs inspired by You'll Never Walk Alone. Barbara Streisand sang this song in a surprise appearance at the close of the 2001 Emmy Awards in honor of the victims of the September 11th, 2001 attacks. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir has sung it, and 95,000 Liverpool football fans sang it once in a match lineup. I'm telling you, you've got to Google this. It's a huge, they've got video of this, a huge, massive stadium. They're going to play a football match, and 95,000 fans break out in this song, You'll Never Walk Alone. Here are the lyrics. When you walk through a storm, keep your chin up high. And don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm is a golden sky. And the sweet silver song of a lark Walk on through the wind. Walk on through the rain. Though your dreams be tossed and blown, walk on, walk on. With hope in your heart, you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. But long before Rodgers and Hammerstein ever penned this show tune, the notion of never having to walk alone, can you believe it? It's found in Holy Scripture. Psalm 23:4 says, and you know this verse, even though you walk through the darkest valley, you will fear no evil, for I am with you. Psalm 121 verses 5 through 8 encourages us. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you or smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going. And Paul declares in his letter to the Christians at Rome, these precious, precious words, nothing, nothing will be able to separate you and I from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Say that with me this morning. Nothing, say that, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And does not Jesus even himself declare to us, I am with you always. Let's pray together.